Attorneys keep some pretty long hours, but when they do finally get some time off, you may find them at a Knicks game or seeing a Lizzo show. That is, unless their law firm has sued MSG Entertainment, which operates iconic New York venues like Madison Square Garden and Radio City Music Hall. The company has been barring all lawyers from firms with litigation pending against them from attending concerts and sporting events. Today, we're joined by two attorneys from Davidoff, Hutcher, and Citron, a firm that's been fighting against this kind of blanket ban. First, welcome to employment attorney Benjamin Noren. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon.
And we're also joined by litigation specialist Joe Polito. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Amber. How you doing?
It is great to have you both because this is quite the twisty saga and your firm is right in the heart of it. So I want to get into all of the really interesting details here. But let's just start with the very beginning. Your firm represents some ticket resellers that are in a lawsuit against MSG Entertainment. And after that suit was filed, MSG told you guys to get lost. You can't come to the venues anymore. Can you kind of tell us more about that beginning stage and what happened?
Yeah, sure. We had heard a little bit that MSG was taking this tact because I think there was an article earlier in the summer about a firm who's banned. And so we were joking whether or not this was going to happen to us. And sure enough, 9 days after we commenced the litigation on behalf of the ticket brokers, we received a written notice from MSG that said, due to the litigation, we were no longer able to go to venues. And the venues that were listed were, as you said, you know, Madison Square Garden, the Hulu Theater, Beacon Theater, and actually Chicago Theater is included, but clearly that's not our priority here. But clearly these were the premier events centers in New York City. And the basis was in that notice was Rule 4.2 in New York's Professional Code of Conduct, where they were under the guise that they didn't want improper discovery, which is wild.
And that ban, that letter that they sent you, they said they were banning all the attorneys at the firm, right? Not
correct.
Just the people on the actual litigation.
Yeah. And to even clear that up, myself and Larry Hutcher are the attorneys who were on that other case. So it wasn't just us that were affected. It was the entire firm. So our corporate department, our trust and estates department, those who have no idea that that case even was commenced, were all caught up in this ban.
I was banned and have nothing to do with that case.
Right,
because it's not an employment case and you specialize in employment law. So very unrelated there. I am interested sort of in mechanics about how this even works, because when I first heard about this and read some New York Times reporting on it, my first thought was, well, can't you just buy a ticket? Like, can't your friend buy your ticket for you and you can still get in? But it's a little more Orwellian than that. Can you maybe explain how they can actually ban a whole firm of attorneys?
So, you know, from our understanding, it seems that how it's worked out is they have scrubbed our photos off of, at a minimum, our own website. And that's been inputted in their facial recognition. So once we get to the venue, a lot of times right above the metal detector, and I think Ben could fill you in a little bit more on that, there's a camera. And once that camera picks you up, regardless of how you got that ticket, you're greeted by the MSG security.
Yeah, we're going to get to your story in just a second, Ben, because I do think it's a really illustrative one of what's been going on here. But before we do, Joe, can you tell us more about how you started to fight against this once you got the letter and knew that they were going to bar all of the attorneys in the firm from going to any of these venues? I mean, generally, a company can decide who to do business with as long as they aren't discriminating against a protected class. Lawyers are, unfortunately for all of us that have a law degree, we're not protected, a protected class. But there are other avenues you've been pursuing. Like, how has that worked out? What laws are you relying on to fight against this?
Yeah, you know, once we received that notice, you know, we immediately knew that whatever policy justification MSG was putting in that notice was just pretext, as this was clearly vindictive in the sense of targeting those attorneys who had the temerity of commencing a lawsuit against MSG. And so we knew there was something wrong here. And from my perspective, knowing that we wanted to take some action to stop this, Was really looking and diving into how places of amusement and public entertainment are regulated. And that's where I came across Civil Rights Law 40B, which stood out to me because it applies to any person. There is no classification as do you need some sort of discriminatory element to it. It's any person who's above the age of 21 and has a ticket of admission. Now, there are enumerated venues, which is sort of where our fight is a little bit today, because it doesn't necessarily cover I'll rather say MSG believes that it doesn't cover sporting events. That's actually on appeal for us now. And looking at that, it seemed, how could they be doing this when you have this statute that is so clear on its face?
Yeah, and that statute is a relatively old one in New York that was meant to protect basically, you know, critics of theater and that sort of thing that were getting blackballed from attending
Correct.
Events.
Yeah, no, and what was crazy is, you know, when I sort of discovered that statute, the legislative history wasn't readily available because it was enacted in 1941. So I had to do a bit of digging to find it. But once I found it, I mean, it was incredible because that's exactly right. Schubert Theaters was banning critics who were giving negative reviews about the performances. And that had to be stopped. And that's where sort of culminated in the enactment of Civil Rights Law 41B, which is parallel to what's happening to today. You have those who are criticizing MSG who are being banned. So, I mean, I think it plays right into what's happening today, even though the statute was created, 80 years ago?
Right, right. Yeah, you had to dig into the archives for that one. I know that as an initial step, you did get an injunction that was supposed to at least temporarily resolve this issue and allow attorneys from the firm to attend things where they had tickets. But now we turn to Ben. You did not have a great experience with that, even after that injunction was granted. So tell us about your actual personal experience of trying to go to see something at MSG.
Yeah, that's right, Amber. You know, I'm a big concert fan. As I said before, I wasn't related to this underlying lawsuit. I was really upset that I couldn't go see concerts anymore. And I was waiting and eager for Joe and Larry to win the injunction. They got it on a Monday. The next concert at MSG was Wednesday when this guy Wizkid was playing. He's a Nigerian rapper that is not my favorite, but he's my second favorite Nigerian rapper. So I thought, you know, good enough. I'll go back and celebrate. And I went with my friend Dave. I arrived at the venue. I had a ticket. I walked through the metal detectors, and about 1 second later, I was greeted by two senior members of MSG's in-house legal counsel and the head of security, who said that there was a hit on their facial recognition. They asked me if I was Ben Noren and if I worked at Davidoff, Hunter & Citron. I said yes to both. Then they showed me a picture of me walking into the venue side by side with a picture from my law firm's website. And they said, well, then you know why we stopped you. And because I expected them to stop me, I had the judge's injunction ready. And I pulled it out and I said, I don't know why you stopped me. Here's a copy of Judge Frank's injunction enjoining you from banning me. And the response of Al Weidenfeld, who is a defendant in our lawsuit and who had nothing else to do on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, told me that they're not banning me. They just revoked my tickets now and forever. And so that they're complying yeah. with the court's order.
Ben, I know you recorded all of this, so let's play a little bit of the audio clip of what happened.
Benjamin Noren?
Yes.
And excuse me, one sec. Do you work for Davidoff, Hutcher, and Citron?
Yes.
LLP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then you know, sir, that I know you're going to, you've also received our order, you received our letter.
No, I received a order from the Honorable
yes,
Lyle Frank, which has my name, and which provides the line to be allowed entry.
Well, so you also got a notice
that defendants are enjoined from denying access to a person presenting a valid ticket in the day of an event after the venue opens to the public. I have a valid ticket.
Well, sir, you don't have a valid ticket because I communicated to your firm
and to the attorneys at your firm by a letter delivered to your firm by a Federal Express Monday night, delivered to your firm on Tuesday. I know that your firm received that letter because Mr. Hutcher responded to that letter. So I know that you received that letter.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Hal Leiden.
You're Hal?
I am Hal.
Yeah.
So we communicated to Mr. Hutcher that to the extent that you had tickets, or any of the members of the firm had tickets, that they were being revoked. In compliance with the judge's orders, we notified you that the tickets were being revoked. So your ticket is not valid for you. The ticket has been revoked and you are not permitted in the building.
So you're ignoring the court's order?
No, I believe we are complying with the court's order because we revoked your ticket. Having revoked your ticket on Monday night,
before I even bought the ticket.
I don't know when you bought the ticket.
You don't know anything about how I bought the ticket, but you revoked it.
Yes, I do. That's what the letter says. Okay. It says it doesn't matter when you acquired the ticket. It said if you possess a ticket, you can read the letter. Whether you had the ticket then or acquired it thereafter, we were revoking the ticket.
I can imagine that was quite frustrating, but not just for you. I mean, you had to come back to work after that and tell Joe what happened, and you're the one that's actually handling this litigation. So what was the firm's response when, even despite the injunction, MSG obviously viewed the parameters of that injunction very differently than you guys did?
Yeah, it was aggravating. It was aggravating in the sense that not only were they banning Ben, but then they were issuing these other notices that basically said, shouting from the mountaintops, that any ticket from now until perpetuity, as long as it touches a banned attorney's hand, is now revoked, which is just wild and really an abuse of what that initial injunction was, which to me is immediately, file that motion to contempt. But that was a bit short-circuited in the sense that the judge wind up issuing a sort of clarifying order 2 days after that really made it clear that MSG cannot revoke any and all tickets now and in the future a banned attorney is in possession of. Or, you know, if a friend invites you, or whether you get it from StubHub, any legitimate means.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to be clear here. We are obviously talking to two very interested parties in this case. We did reach out to MSG to get their comment on this as well. We have not heard back from them as of the time of this recording, but they've said to other outlets that they just disagree with your interpretation of the underlying laws here and what they're allowed to do, and that they're going to fight this pretty hard. There doesn't seem to be any backing down on their part. You have had some success in court, not just with that injunction, but, you know, more broadly, you and other firms affected in this way have complained in a variety of ways that are outside of the court system, you know, to the sports commissions, to the state liquor authority, and also to the New York Attorney General. Can you talk a bit about those tactics that are not necessarily litigation, but have also tried to put pressure on a venue deciding to take this route?
I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great that these other, even the elected officials had a press release recently on introducing some new legislation directly amending Civil Rights 40B to include sporting events. So it's very much welcomed. And I think it just recognizes how wrong MSG is when you now have all these other authorities coming out and looking at what MSG is doing and seeing for what it is. I mean, it's not a legitimate policy. It's vindictive at its core. And especially that they're using facial recognition now to sort of support that, I think is really angered or has awakened a lot of anger in folks.
Yeah, I want to get into a bit of that. As I said earlier, it feels a little Orwellian that we're all being facially scanned as we go into a concert and that this can happen. But I also did just want to say for the listeners that Letitia James, just today, Wednesday, as of this recording, a letter that she'd written to MSG urging them to drop this ban policy was released publicly. So that's another sort of voice in this growing fervor against these kind of blanket bans. But yeah, let's talk about some of the bigger implications here, because as much as I'd like to say lawyers unable to attend fancy concert and games is a big deal, for the general public, maybe not as much sympathy for us lawyers out there. But I do think the issue writ large is a big deal for everyone. So can you speak to that? Like, what do you see as some of the implications here beyond just inconvenience to attorneys who want to go see a concert?
you know, the MSG's practices aren't limited to attorneys. I've received a number of emails from people who have been kicked out of the garden and are being kept out of the garden and other MSG facilities simply for speaking their mind on the internet or to James Dolan in person, or any comments to him that he should sell the team or that he is doing a bad job. You get on this list and they use facial recognition to keep you out. And they use it, if you're lucky enough to get in, they use it to monitor you while you're there. And, you know, Big Brother is always watching. And so that, yeah, we're not that sympathetic as attorneys, but where is it going next? And it's already happening.
Yeah, it certainly seems to just throw into stark relief how powerful this AI facial recognition stuff can be. You know, I was really shocked to hear you describing how quickly you made it just through basically the first security check, and they already had pulled up your picture from your firm website, had it all matched up, came to tell you you couldn't go in. I mean, that seems really surprising. I mean, not something I think the general public really thinks about when they go in to see a game.
This is not limited to MSG and attorneys. I mean, if MSG gets away with it, other companies will use it to, you know, meek out retribution against their corporate enemies as well. You know, you're going to sue Walmart. You're not allowed to go to any Walmart, your whole firm, not even if you're not even associated with the case. I mean, the application is terrifying.
So, Joe, can you tell me any next steps you see here? Because it does paint, as Ben said, a bit of a terrifying potential future. If every time a firm sues, they can't go to various venues or restaurants or stores or whatever else is using this facial recognition technology to keep people out.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why we, quite frankly, have to keep the pressure on. You know, we have an underlying case here. We have the motion dismiss phase is over. Our civil rights law 40B claims are moving forward. MSG has appealed the injunction. That's on tap. We're cross appealing because we don't think sporting events should have been excluded. So, you know, from our perspective, it's to keep the pressure on and keep moving forward, because quite clearly, outside of just the personal feelings of being upset by the action MSG's took, you know, we think we're clearly in the legal right here. You know, the consistency in which MSG keeps on, you know, putting out that this is some sort of legitimate policy. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just this vindictive, you know, because we represent clients who disagree with how MSG has treated them. And, you know, why are we to be penalized for that? You know, clearly, the other scary part of this is the chilling effect this could have with regards to the administration of justice. What are you going to force quick settlements or better settlements because that's when this ban officially is over? Are you going to affect people's ability to get counsel because you're banning attorneys? I mean, it's just nonsensical at this point.
Well, all eyes will be on how this case resolves for all the reasons we've talked about. It's absolutely a fascinating one about where the line should be drawn around this kind of technology at venues and also what venue owners are allowed to do in response to litigation. So thank you very much for both of you being on the show today and talking about it with me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.